This is a Triple J podcast.
If you are in a relationship and you think your partner might benefit from toys, you can also be the person who brings it up.
Hello, Pip Rasmussen with you. Normally Dee Salmon is taking care of you on this podcast, but I'm jumping in because she's feeling a bit crook. And to give you a little peek behind the curtain, this interview actually happened just before Dee went to the Arias. So if you can imagine this in your mind's eye, she was dolled up, like full glam in the studio, chatting to our very good friend of the show, Georgia Grace. Then she went to the Arias and had a classic bit of an Arias crash out afterwards. I guess too much fun, too much sun. She's feeling pretty shit right now. So even though I'm here, you are going to be hearing her voice with a very important chat with, as I mentioned, Georgia Grace, who is a sex educator and author, really good friend of the show. And they were speaking about a very important topic that kind of got raised in our last episodes about sex toys. A lot of you told us how sex toys have helped you discover your pleasure, your wants, your needs, your kinks, even sometimes your sexuality. So if you are somebody who hasn't even delved into the world of sex toys and opened that Pandora's box up, then that's what we're here to do with this episode. We're going to normalize things. We're going to get some advice from Georgia about how you can bring it in and where to start if you've never even gone there before. How do you discover what you like? And we're going to hear a very important conversation about the stigma that's attached for both men and women when it comes to bringing toys into sex, especially with partners. And, you know, for people with vulvas, sometimes it's the only way you can actually climax with the help of a toy. But again, there's so much insecurity and shame and stigma about bringing a vibrator into sex, whether it's internalized or from a partner being weird about it. So that's what we're covering in this episode with Georgia Grace. How to navigate those feelings, how to introduce toys if you feel a little bit awkward, and what to do if your partner has a bit of insecurity or shame around it as well as yourself. So let's get into it.
Gee, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So like we heard, so many of our listeners are obsessed with sex toys. 90% of them said that it helps them to discover their pleasure, their wants, and their needs. If you've never used one before, though, what's your advice? How can you start, and what does that look like discovering potentially your wants and needs with a sex toy?
Yeah, such a good question. And it will be pretty different for everyone. So what I would do is actually start by looking on a sex toy website, or even if you are in a city or an area with a great like sex positive sex toy store, you can even go in there and talk to someone about the different types of toys. What do I want to feel? Do I want to try something that has vibrations, or maybe something that feels more like a pulse or air or suction? Do I want something that's external or internal? How do I like to masturbate, and like what do I touch, and how could I use a toy to sort of add to that or emulate that kind of touch or stimulation? Or what do I like when I'm having sex with someone else? What do I like to be focused on? And then you will be looking for a toy that can sort of expand on that or add to that. There are other sort of more important things as well in making sure that you're getting a toy that is body safe. So always something that is like medical grade silicone if you're going for a silicone toy, so that it is body safe. Making sure you get things like a toy cleaner, because the more you take care of your toys, the longer they will last. But also it is really important to clean your toys after use to prevent the spread of infection, and also to make sure that you're feeling, comfortable after sex or after using a sex toy. Yeah, I think there's some of the big important things to start with. And then it's also taste. Like, what do you like the look of? And some people will go for certain colors or shapes. Some people will want really soft material, and others they'll want something that feels a little bit harder. Some people will want to go for the gimmicky thing that looks like a penguin, and others will be kind of mortified by the fact that their vibrator looks like a penguin. So it really depends on what it is that you're wanting. And there is literally something out there for everyone.
I felt like that when I went to Sexpo.
Yeah, totally.
I obviously have been into sex stores before, and you know, you have your classic, your whips, your vibrators, whatever it is. And then when I went to Sexpo, I was like you said, they were like dragon dildos that were like
egg-laying tentacles,
so many different things. And I was like, wow, that actually is something for everyone.
Totally.
But when I think about sex toys, I do automatically just think about vibrators or dildos, but it can be things like ropes and paddles and those kind of things as well, right?
Absolutely. And it could be something even like a strap-on. So that is a harness that someone could wear. And then, you know, I think if you are interested in getting a strap-on, that's where it can be useful to go into a store, because then you can look at the size or the material that feels good for your body. They may be even able to like help you fit it. But then you also get to decide or choose the dildo or the shaft or the phallus, like whatever you want to call it. And some people might be like, oh, I feel like that kind of dildo or shaft represents my identity and my body, and I want to go with something that looks like that. So yeah, it's pretty vast. It can be sensory items. It can also be toys that don't vibrate. So some people might go for something that they want to use internally that is like a little bit harder. That might be something that is a crystal or something that's made out of steel. So yeah, there is so much out there.
For guys as well, I think we don't see it as often. Pip and I spoke about this in the episode. I think we see now like in pop culture and just like in your algorithm, it's like very pinkwashing and like vibrators and that kind of thing. But there are lots of sex toys for guys as well, right?
There's so many. And I think over the past 5 years in particular, it's been an amazing movement and a sex positive movement for toys for those who have vulvas. And it's really common to see someone on Instagram like posing with a vibrator or talking about a butt plug that they like, or, you know, promoting sex toys as a really important and healthy part of sex. And that's something that I'm often talking about and thinking about as well, that there is still the shame and stigma for people with penises or men about using sex toys. But there is so much out there. There's things like masturbation sleeves, there's cock rings, there's prostate massages, there's of course anal toys as well. There's like these sort of more robust masturbators that you essentially can put your penis in and sort of thrust up against it standing. So there is a lot out there. I think one of the things I'm noticing is that a lot of them don't look as like sexy or luxe. And when we've done research, we've found that people find the materials like gross or uncomfortable or a little bit weird. Some people really love something like a fleshlight, which may look like a pussy or an anus, and that's really hot for them. But others don't like their toys to emulate or to look like genitals. And like a lot of the feedback is also around the cleanup, because if they've ejaculated and then the cum is like held in a sleeve or it's held in something, it's like, you know, the post-nut shame that a lot of us can feel, like,
And then you have to see it.
Yes, and then you have to see it and clean it.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of like the not so sustainable things as well. So there's often, I think, some sexual wellness brands have noticed that. And so then they've created like a once-off masturbator, a once-off sleeve. So it's essentially you come and then you throw it out. And so, of course, that's not very sustainable. So yeah, I think like the reason there is still the shame around it is that we're still really working on high quality toys, but then there's also the social cultural things that we need to do to remove the stigma so that men and people with penises are even going to go out and buy it for themselves.
That makes so much sense. Mm. And yeah, the marketing side of things, especially from your background, it's like harder to sell in your feed. You know what I mean?
Totally. It's like anytime we do anything that's more focused on men or people with penises, we get a, because we can see the demographics and we can see the insights, we get a lot of like saves on the photos or on the images on the posts, but we don't get a lot of it, like, yeah, public engagement of likes or comments, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, it definitely says a lot. Well, another stat that you found at Normal was that men are 50% more likely than women to report using sex toys solo as embarrassing. Mm. And I think from a couple of DMs we got as well, people who had never used sex toys before were like interested, but there was a bit of shame around it, or a bit of like awkwardness and embarrassment. How can you work through that?
Yeah, I think what I often want to do, and I would say that this applies to men using toys solo, but also in partnered sex as well. So what we want to do is we want to do the education around it and unpack some of the shame that exists, that if you are using toys, it doesn't mean you're not a good lover. It doesn't mean you don't know how to touch your partner. It doesn't mean that you're like not adding up to this idea of a sex god that all of us really want to be. Actually, sex toys are what we can all use to make sex feel even better. And actually, they can take a lot of pressure off people. A lot of people will say that when my partner says, hey, do you want to use a toy? It allows them to relax a little bit and ease into it, and not so much focus on making sure their partner feels okay, but like focusing on how they feel and their own pleasure. And you know, the same for partners. When someone says, hey, I want to use my toy whilst you kiss me, that can also ease the pressure for them around needing to get the technique right. So working with the education around, you know, what toys are and what they mean and how they add to sex, and how they can also add a lot of pleasure for a lot of people and remove the pressure around it. But then if it's looking at solo sex, I think what we would want to do is look at, I guess, masturbation habits and where their ideas around masturbation came from. I know a lot of the men who I work with in session will say that masturbation was kind of like a joke growing up, and they, you know, they would talk about masturbation a lot, but it was, it was a part of like the cultural lexicon of like laughing. And, you know, we look at the shows or movies from the 90s, it was all of, you know, like American Pie, it was all of a bit of a joke. And so I think that those messages and those ideas stay with a lot of men around like what masturbation is, and it has to be this like quick thing that we just like get out quickly and move on. So yeah, for anyone who also resonates with that idea that, oh yeah, like I actually do think it's embarrassing, or I do think it's shameful to use toys, and I think it does say something about me as a partner or as a sexual person, like that's not just your ideas about it. Actually, there's a big system at play, and I think the system is the patriarchy that is telling you what it means to be a man and how you should be having sex. And so when we work through that, it can take a bit of time, and we don't just focus on the individual and you know what's wrong with them. We look at what is wrong with the culture around sex.
Something that we've spoken about before, G, is that, you know, orgasms aren't specifically the goal in sex, but it can be something that, you know, is important for people to experience. And a stat that you found was that 68% of people with vulvas use toys to help them orgasm. And I know personally, just from friends who really struggle with coming in partnered sex, will use a toy like a clit sucker or a vibrator, and it's like so much easier for them to come. How can sex toys help you if you are struggling?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's so interesting that everyone who you speak to says that as well, that sex toys provide direct stimulation to a really important organ that is the clit. And so if someone is having partnered sex and that looks like, you know, they're receiving penetration or they're humping, they may not be getting the direct stimulation to the clit that they need. So using something like a toy, whether it is more suction or air or whether it is vibration, provides that direct stimulation. And it's something that they can use at the same time as receiving internal stimulation. So I think it is really interesting that, you know, that's a huge number of people that are using toys and really benefit from it. Sex toys are designed to make you come. Like that is their job. They're designed to make you feel good, and they're designed to build arousal. We might also look at like the psychology or like the emotional or mental aspects of it as well. So if we have found a toy that works really well for us and we, you know, trust and we know what to do to get our body to that peak state of arousal, we may feel a sense of comfort and we may continuously go to that. But then if someone is feeling like stressed or anxious around partnered sex and the pressure to orgasm, that could also be contributing to the fact that they aren't able to build arousal because they have this sort of ingrained idea that I can't orgasm, I struggle to build arousal. Like, is that arousal or does that feel good? Or like, how would I make this better? And so they're really out of their body and in their head. And so even just like the mental or psychological safety that people can feel and being like, oh, I have this thing and it works and it's really, it feels really good for my body, can also help them in easing into the pleasure as well.
Yeah, we know that listeners have told us, you know, sometimes with partnered sex, you think about like, well, how's my body look? Mm-hmm. Get in your head about that. Performance is a huge thing as well. So yeah, it makes so much sense. And we'll talk about bringing in a toy because it's like, if you know that that works for you outside of partner sex, you know, it could be something that you could bring in, which we'll talk about how to do in a sec. When we asked our listeners on our Instagram at Triple J The Hookup, we said, do you use a toy with your partner? 51% of them said sometimes, 18% said all the time, and 16% said rarely, 14% never. But then we asked, how does your partner bringing a sex toy into the bedroom make you feel? 68% of people said love it, 26% said it's okay, and 5% said not a fan. How can you figure out if you should bring a toy in with a partner, and how can you do that?
I mean, the tyranny of should is so interesting, and I think people are often so concerned around what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing and whether it will feel good or it won't feel good, and that like pressure on it being right can stop people from trying, can stop them from getting curious. So if anyone is listening and they're like, should I be doing that? Well, maybe you could go into a sexual experience and not know whether it's going to feel good or be the best thing ever, or you and your partner are going to enjoy it. But if you're curious about it, give it a go. Because, I mean, I think that sex toys can be a part of every sexual experience we have. And I wouldn't use the word should because I know it's not for everyone, but sex toys are an addition to sex. They are there to make all of us feel good. They are there to help us build arousal. So if you're curious about it, like, why not? What's holding you back? And I think often what's holding people back is they don't want to make their partner feel bad, or they don't want to create like an insecurity in the relationship. They don't want to get in the way of the intimacy of sex. And maybe it's just some people really struggle to voice their desires and feel really uncomfortable about having a want, and they don't actually know how to do that. I think it's really important for all of us to experiment and explore toys. And if you are, you know, in a relationship and you think your partner might benefit from it, you can also be the person who brings it up. You don't need to wait for the person with the vulva to initiate. You can start the conversation and see how they would feel as well.
Yeah, how do you do that? A few people said they feel awkward. They're like, I'm keen, but I feel awkward and don't even know how to start. Like,
yeah.
I think what you mentioned there around taking you out of the moment a bit and the intimacy, someone said that they feel like it kind of stops the sex. And how can you work through that awkwardness?
Yeah. I mean, I think we are really scared of awkwardness in sex. And I see it a lot in session that as soon as a couple feels awkward, they tap out. Awkwardness isn't bad. But what a lot of us do is we read awkwardness as unsafe or feeling uncomfortable as wrong. And it's not necessarily. Like, if we step away from sex or sexual intimacy or exploration every time we feel awkward, we'll be stepping away a lot. So in what ways can you allow for a little bit of awkwardness? Can you allow for you, yourself, or your partner not to be perfect and seamless? Because if you are trying to be perfect, like, that's going to add a lot of stress, and sex is not perfect. Then I think there's also that idea of it like ruins the mood or it kills the mood. I hear some feedback from people that stopping sex, they feel like, oh, my arousal's built and it's going to leave. And then as soon as it goes, I'm done. And I think what we want to do is actually, that may be a masturbation practice for them, in they practice building arousal and letting arousal go down, and building arousal and letting arousal go down, so that they can trust that, yeah, they can build it and they can build it back up if they feel like they've lost it, and sort of giving them the confidence around that. But then I guess there's this other group of people when, if they feel like sex is stopping, it's like, oh, that's awkward, because now I'm confronted by the fact that we're not face to face, or our bodies aren't in flow, and oh, like, I feel distant from you. And then we want to normalize the fact that sex starts and stops. It doesn't go from a few minutes of kissing to coming at the same time and lying in each other's arms. It's really normal and okay for it to start and stop. And we do need to start normalizing that, so that people have the capacity and agency to ask for more lube, or to ask to put a condom on, or to ask to bring a toy in, or to like have a water break. Like, it's a really important part of sex.
I think we've just been conditioned from what we've seen in like movies and porn. It's like this seamless, hot, sexy thing that just like, you know, builds and builds and builds, and it's so seamless, the changing of positions, the blah, blah, blah. It's like, it is just, we all know it's not like that.
Yes.
So like, why are we so afraid? Like, we are all having sex, or have had sex, or maybe, you know, but it's like, we know that's not what it's like.
Yes.
So why are we so afraid?
Yeah.
When it is clunky and messy and stopping and starting and, you know, changing your mind and wanting this and that.
Yeah.
We did have a lot of DMs from people with vulvas saying that they can only climax using a sex toy. Ali says, when I use toys regularly, it makes it so much harder to come without one. Jackie, I hate that I can only climax with a sex toy. And Claudia saying, I can only finish with a vibe, which makes me feel really insecure with my partner. How do you navigate that? I think sometimes people as well get really anxious that, like, oh, this is the only way I'll be able to come forever now.
Yes. Yeah. So I think a lot of this fear often comes from the idea that sex should be between a man and a woman, two people who love each other, and they should be capable and competent and giving each other pleasure. And if there's something else that doesn't give them pleasure, then there's something inherently wrong with them if they can't reach orgasm with the person they love. And so obviously that is heteronormative, and it's a binary, and actually it's like, quite frankly, like really boring to think about sex in that way, but that's what we've been taught. So I think there's that underpinning of it, I should naturally be able to do this, and that word, it's natural, comes up a lot. So we'll look at that idea. But then I think there is this other thing where people do want to be able to experience pleasure in new ways, because they say, like, I want the intimacy or the connection, or I want the new sensation of climaxing from my partner going down on me or penetrating me. So the first thing is the fact that they can climax, that is amazing. Like, that's what I do in the first session. And I think it's really interesting. People will come to me and they'll say, I've never had an orgasm before. But then throughout the session, we realize they have had an orgasm. They've just had it on their own, or they've used a vibrator. So they think they've never had an orgasm means they've never done it in partnered sex. So the first thing is your body knows how to build arousal and climax. That's like a big thing we celebrate, because some people, that you can absolutely learn it, but we're learning and discovering how to do that. Then what we might do is like look at them as practice and play sessions, so that they can still use their vibrator on their own and, you know, use it like in the afternoon for their stress relief. But their practice session will be them setting a timer and trying a masturbation technique that's like using their fingers or their hands or rubbing up on something. And it doesn't end when they climax, it ends when the timer goes. So that way they're learning how to build arousal in their body, but they also may be using things that engage their erotic mind. So that might be thinking about something, or it might be just bringing awareness to the pleasure in their body, or it might be listening to audio erotica or reading Reddit, as you know, that's like such a reliable resource for so many.
So funny.
but so then you're practicing how to do it. I think that also what we really need to do is look at the stress response around it. And so people will often turn to their vibrator because it feels it eases the stress around I'm not coming and I want to be able to come. So we'll look at what their partner can do to create a sense of safety and to remind them that, you know, it's not about orgasm, that they just really like going down on them or they really like having sex with them in this way and they're having as much fun and they're not focused on making them orgasm. But then there's another thing that I think, which I kind of heard in some of those responses, people feel like vibrators can desensitize their genitals. So this is a big sex shame myth. Your vibrator will not and cannot desensitize your genitals. Just like if I put my vibrator on my stomach, I'm not going to vibrate away nerve endings in my stomach. If anything, I might start to have more awareness of the sensation because I'm bringing awareness, I'm exploring sensation and touch. So you're not desensitizing your clit. So it can't desensitize you, but what might be happening is that you might have developed a really strong pleasure pathway that makes you sort of expect or anticipate that kind of arousal. So say if I were to be lying on my back and using my left hand and touching myself the same way for my whole life, then my body will be like, oh, I need that very specific stimulation. And so when it comes to partnered sex, it might feel harder because I'm not in my own space and touching my clit in the exact way I want to need. So with that, then all we'll be doing is finding new ways to masturbate. And that might be using your vibrator standing up, or it might be using it whilst you're humping yourself. So you can learn, but it's going to take a bit of practice.
Just changing up position.
Totally.
Changing up, yeah. Like you said, there's like these cultural ideas around what it means to use a sex toy. And for most of our listeners, a lot of the people with penises were like, yep, love it, blah, blah, blah. But then there are a few people out there who think like, oh, like you think that's better than me, or I don't want that, or I want you to throw out your toys. So how do you navigate if you are sleeping with someone who feels weird about it? Like it makes the sex lesser, or it's like they're threatened to buy a toy.
Yeah. So maybe the unintentional person might be like, oh, I don't feel like I have a lot of experience and I want to be a good lover and I don't feel confident, or I don't know if this feels comfortable for me and you know, this is some stuff that I want to work through. And then in that, we can work through that. We can create safety and build confidence and look at the importance of toys. But if someone is saying, throw out your vibrators, and if it's, I don't want you to use your vibrators on your own, or I don't want you to masturbate on your own, that is, I guess like a red flag would go off in my head. I want more information. Like what is going on there for you? Like, why are you telling your partner how they can and can't experience pleasure, how they can and can't touch their body? We would really want to look at the distinction between like your personal boundary and something you are telling your partner to do. So a personal boundary might be like, I don't feel comfortable using sex toys. It doesn't feel like something I want to do right now. However, that's my choice, but you could use it on your own body whilst we're having sex, or you could use it in masturbation. I just don't want a toy on, in, or around my body. Cool. That's a great boundary. You don't want to do that. That's awesome. Or I don't want to hold it because I don't know how to hold it and I want to learn from you first. So you do it and teach me. Because, yeah, I have heard many cases of partners finding toys and asking them to throw them out or to not use them. And I think that's a really important time to have a conversation around agency and autonomy. And I think a lot of this can come down to education as well. So maybe you want to send your partner this podcast and look at the different ways that, you know, you can integrate toys and the fact that they aren't going to replace human connection. If anything, they're going to make sex feel even better, because when we're turned on and we're aroused, like there's all these feel-good neurochemicals racing through our body and we're drawn to our partner. And God, it's hot when someone is like, hey, I want to try something new with you and I want to prioritize your pleasure. What feels good for you? So that brings us together.
I said that to Pip in the episode. I was like, why wouldn't you, especially if you're having sex with someone long term, want to bring new exciting things in and things that are like playful and fun and like new sensations and new like ways of being intimate together and seeing each other experience pleasure. Like totally. It's just a no-brainer.
Yeah, totally. And I think it really does come down to a deeper insecurity of I'm not enough sexually.
Yeah.
Because my partner wants this, it says something about me. But actually, we need to throw the attention back to them and be like, actually, no, it says something about their wants and needs. And a lot of people feel really vulnerable bringing this up. So if someone says they want to use a vibrator, I think that's a really important moment to be like, wow, thank you for sharing. That's so vulnerable. I love that you share what you want with me. Can I get more information, or can we talk about it? Can we go shopping together? Like, what would that look like so that, yeah, you can have care and respect for how intense that might have felt for someone to bring it up. But for a lot of people, they'll be like, this doesn't feel intense at all. And like, this isn't a big deal. And it's such a big part of my sex life. This feels really normal and okay to talk about sex toys.
Yeah. It's like, I've got 5 in my handbag. Let's go.
Yeah,
you know,
literally,
I'm like
literally.
Ready to go. Yeah. You mentioned education, Jay. So before we go, what are some resources? You have a lot on your Instagram. Mm. Where can people find out more information?
Yeah, well, I mean, I did publish a book on sex last year. So for anyone who wants, I have a whole chapter on sex toys and what that looks like solo and together. So The Modern Guide to Sex is my book. And there are so many activities and tools and resources for individuals, couples, any kind of relationship configurations. So that's a really great tool. I am on Instagram as G-Spot, but then also Normal, it's normal.com. We have so much education and so much stuff there. So definitely go have a look at that. But then also Google your local sex toy store. It's really great to get there in person. You might feel nervous or might feel overwhelming, but they deal with this all the time. And so, yeah, how can you, yeah, go and speak with a person about it as well?
100%. Be like, this is the vibe I'm looking for. What do you think?
Exactly.
Like, what would you recommend?
Totally.
Oh, I love it, G. That was so amazing.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
Yay.